Welcome, everybody, to PlayStation 5, our central podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the rumors on the PlayStation 5 that's upcoming, because I'm joined by Vikarth. Give him a round of applause, everybody.
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Everyone in their cars have just pulled over, got out of the seat, and they're clapping to the universe right now. Or they're in their chair in the office. They've got up in front of everyone.
They've fallen over. They've fallen out of the back of their seats.
I cannot believe the voice they're hearing right now.
I was listening to last week's episode, and Dan, you mentioned how I was obviously not present. I was absent, and you're like, Vike, his rants. They bring a bit of comedy to the show, and how you miss my rants. So you know what, Dan? Starfield, too many planets. Avatar is too bloated. 7 out of 10 games. Should have done better for what they had. You know, so I'm just ready to fire, mate. I'm ready to fire, mate. What's going on with Skull and Bones? Looked boring.
The voice of the voiceless is back, everybody.
Is that a new title? Voice of the
voiceless. Where have I got that one from? I don't even remember.
Where's Hellblade 2, mate? What's been going on with Starfield? Major failure, mate. I don't know.
Where the hell is Jordan? He two don't get along or something.
We've got off air beef, me and Jules. So no.
Behind the scenes drama.
I was really sad that he's not on today. So
I'll just have to do. Sorry, mate.
That's okay, mate. I was just asking you off air what's going on with our office Christmas party, Dan. Are you flying us to a corporate retreat? Is it Hawaii or
Hideo's actually taking us up in Japan at his office? He's got a private suite.
Are we gonna be playing Japan? OD?
We're going to be playing OD, Death Stranding 2, and we're all going to be put in the game. How does that sound?
Awesome.
Yeah.
And
he's paying us $2 million each for that.
That's sick. And he's paying me to develop. Somehow he has a rights, Metal Gear Solid 6.
No, that's not a part of the deal. Sorry, sir. No, you're going to have to take that up with Konami, mate.
Yeah, there's too much beef there. I've he's actually sent me to mediate to start the relationship again. I honestly think Sony should get in the middle and go, come on, Hideo, Konami, let's sort this beef out. Let's loan out the IP, Metal Gear Solid, give it to Hideo.
Did we ever hear your reaction to the remake?
Delta? I don't know.
Did you ever talk about that on here?
I don't think so. Oh, no, I did. I remember singing the Snake Eater song.
Yeah.
I did.
Of course.
Did.
How could we forget that? Snake Eater.
I installed the collection, which I've heard is not the best, but I've been really missing Metal Gear, and especially Metal Gear Solid 2. It's such a good game that I've probably
never played.
No, you haven't.
No.
Yeah.
You want to play it with me, man?
It's good, man. It's really good, you know. And I've
see
just
how
we
didn't answer that question, everyone.
No, I'll play with you. 100%, mate. We'll sit down and we'll play together. I've just been watching a lot of like hidden details and, you know, all those sort of Metal Gear Solid videos. And it's crazy, man. Like I've played Metal Gear Solid 1 in the double digits in terms of the amount of times I've completed it. And I still found out things that were like, wow, like I didn't even notice that. That's like, I can't believe that just for this little moment, if you don't get this item, the entire cutscene changes.
Were you the one that told me about the peeing trick? Was that in 2 or 3 where there's an AI peeing or something and it can hit you or something like that?
Yeah, in Metal Gear Solid 2 off the tanker, if there's a guard peeing off and you're like shimming underneath and you get like a phone call. And then they're like, I'm so sorry when you need a phone call. There's so many crazy things, Dan. Like even Metal Gear Solid 2, when I look at the details, like it's ridiculous. Like for instance, when you shoot a glass and the ice cubes are there, it melts. It's like a PS2 game, and it like melts over time. So interesting stuff in Metal Gear Solid 2. It's really good. This game came out 2002 or something. He was talking about social media, fake news, AI, and how it controls the flow of information to the masses and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, shadow governments and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, isn't that so true today with like the news we receive, AI just, and he's so forward thinking with that sort of stuff. To predict that 10, 15 years ago is ridiculous, you know. So
was Metal Gear 5 as detailed? Did it have those little nuance details or not as real, not as much?
Yeah, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5, in terms of the video game details, was pretty crazy. Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of little stuff. I can't think of any.
That's all right. I was just wondering if it had that in, because Death Stranding didn't have that many that I could think of.
Yeah, Death Stranding.
But it didn't really, necessitate
it.
No,
did it?
It didn't need them. Yeah.
I think with MGS5, there was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot. Even in the way the guards responded to you, in the way the weapons you would use, even its combat system was pretty crazy in terms of its close quarters combat. And you could do so many moves. I don't know. It was, MGS5, I think, is the best gameplay, one of the best gameplay experience. Just the story was a bit lacking.
Well, Vikarth, the Game Awards were last week. They came and went, and a few news stories out of there. One of the big ones that I saw was Christopher Judge, how he called out Call of Duty, and that caused a bit of a stir. I thought it was a funny joke. I didn't think anything more than that, but what did you think?
Yeah, it was just a bit of a jab. It made a good light of his 8-minute or whatever speech that he did last Game Awards, and yeah, you know, Zach Levi did the same thing when he was talking about microtransactions. I know he wasn't targeting at a game, but...
For EA, yeah.
I think, was it EA? Yeah. So, look, the campaign was 4 hours, you know. It is short. I think Modern Warfare 3 was very lazily done, right?
Mm.
So, you have to cop the criticism. He made a valid criticism in the form of a joke. It's very valid in the way MW3 has been done. I've been playing a fair bit of it, and I'm, you know, not the happiest or not the most receptive to it, but we could talk about that when we talk about what we've been playing.
Cool. A teaser. This guy's been watching Mr. Beast videos. Give them the teaser at the start of the ep. Lure them so they watch the whole episode. Beautiful. Like
I got buried
did that
alive
naturally.
For 7 days playing MW3. The video will be up soon.
That's how it felt playing it. No, the big one about it, I was seeing a lot of negative feedback about the show in general, how there wasn't enough time for the speeches and that sort of thing. And now me and Jordan talked about this a little bit last week, and we knew this would happen because most people watch it for what? The reveals. And what's the bet? The audience numbers are the best they've ever been this year because there was more reveals. So it's that give and take. I thought, he probably could have given a bit more time. Especially when you've got Hideo and Jordan Peele out there for about 10 minutes too long, and Anthony Mackie was there a little long, and you could trim some of those up.
Hideo was there for ages.
Yeah, he was there too long.
Yeah, he was there way too long.
Especially when you don't have anything really to show.
Yeah. Exactly right.
What did you think of that side of it?
I mostly agree. Like, look, he has to fund this big show somehow with ads and viewers, obviously viewers fueling the ad revenue. So he has to plug it with ads, and, you know, he's obviously developers are paying him to obviously display their games at the show and things like that. So there's obviously a lot of the finance side to it. Like, yes, ideally it would be great if the developers could have their time in the limelight or their moment in time where we really celebrate them and the developers. But the reality is, I don't want to speak for everyone, but when it came to the acceptance speeches, I was skipping through it, you know, and I was just watching for the game reveals. And I think the reality is that...
No, thank you for being honest.
Yeah. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think devs should be celebrated, but the reality is if you just had a show that was just the awards, I don't think you're going to get many people watching it. The devs will watch it, but who really wants to just like, I don't know. I get it that the Oscars, like a lot of people watch it and stuff.
They're creaming the Oscars, though, Game Awards. The Oscars were thinking about bringing in trailers for movies. They were kind of going off what Jeff was doing. You know what I mean?
I get it. On the other side, you know, it was real. I feel like it was somewhat disrespectful when, like, I forgot who it was, but they were given like 30 seconds to talk. Or you saw the teleprompter where it's like, please wrap up. You know, these sort of things. And these guys are winning these awards and putting their heart and soul into it. They want an award. They should have a you know, they should be able to talk and stuff like that. So I don't, it was the indie one.
He just rattled it off. They didn't even get to come up. That was enough. That run people the wrong way.
Yeah, some awards were just rattled off. You're right.
But he's done that every year.
Yeah, he has. But they're more like esports and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, why is that even a category? But
esports category. I think the esports has to go all those ones. Yeah. There's no need.
I think they just want a presence, a foothold in the esports to, in case.
Yeah, I understand.
It's smart, I guess. But I just think, look, maybe the balance is slightly out of whack. They just need to move the dial a bit to the right. Make just a bit more, like maybe last year's with Christopher Judge, it was too much. Now this time it was maybe too much on the other side. They need to find a happy medium. But I think the reality is that most viewers are there for the reveals, and that's the fun part. And potentially the boring part is, you know, those awards. Because aside from Game of the Year and, you know, best score and stuff, you know, there's so many categories that people just don't care. I could not care less about best ongoing game. Like, it's great that Cyberpunk won or whatever it was, but and I mean
those look, ones. I feel
I'll
like,
admit, but
those ones are probably the ones you rattle off.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you give the indie game and the best score and those type of ones best direction on stage.
Oh, it just I don't know. I feel like you got to have something like E3. With the Game Awards, as opposed to,
but this felt like E3 to me a little bit.
But this was more Game Awards with E3 on top, where E3 should be the foundation. You add the Game Awards in, like, because E3 is entertaining to watch the whole way through. So if you mix in Game of the Year, Game this, Game that, it makes it really entertaining to watch. I think the problem is there's a lot of ads. There was a lot of little games that really didn't mean much. You know, there wasn't any insane reveals, but that's, I guess, Jeff's trying to do.
So you, what did you think of the show in general? You thought it was just an average show?
Yeah, I think it was just a bit imbalanced. Maybe just bring it a bit more to the left where devs can have more time to talk and there could be more speeches. Still make it more about the awards. I know I'm somewhat contradicting myself because I'm saying it's boring, but I think it needs to have, there needs to be a happy medium, a happy middle. Because otherwise you're just getting saturated with games and half the games I don't remember, you know. I remember the big ones, so I remember the little ones, you know. It's you got to have quality over quantity a lot of the times, you know. It's just too much.
I'd love to know those actual main reveals like Blade, for example. Mm. Is he getting paid for that, Jeff?
See, some of them are like, I want you at my show, and some of them would be, you know, like I feel like a lot of the smaller ones, they're paying to be there. And then a lot of the big ones, Jeff's going out and asking them, but
for like Blade. So Blade, you think he went out and asked, or
but maybe some very favorable terms of, you know, I still think they're probably paying. I don't know if Jeff's going to, it wouldn't make sense for Jeff
to pay. I'd love to know. Yeah. But he would probably never reveal it. Anyway, I'll quickly run down through the winners. Just we did predictions, me and Jordan, last week. So it was best adaption. The winner was Last of Us. So we both got that one right. Then we had best RPG, Baldur's Gate 3. Both got that right. Best action game. Jordan got that one right. He said Armored Core. I said Hi-Fi Rush. I thought Hi-Fi Rush might get the win, but it was Armored Core in the end. Best action adventure. We both said Zelda. And we were correct. Best indie. Jordan thought it was Dave the Diver. I said Sea of Stars. It indeed was Sea of Stars. We're back to even now. Both on 4 points. Best performance. Jordan was adamant it was Ben Starr from Final Fantasy, Clive. I said, nah, it's got to be Neil Newbon, Baldur's Gate. And, of course, it was Neil Newbon. Thank God I got that one right. Fucking would have mugged myself there. Best score in music. We were both wrong. It was Final Fantasy. I said Baldur's Gate. He said Zelda. Best narrative. We both said Baldur's Gate. It was actually Alan Wake 2. That was great to see them get a nod there. They also won best game direction, which we both predicted they would. Great direction. I think you'd love Alan Wake 2, Vic. So make sure you put that one on your list.
Hmm.
And game of the year, Baldur's Gate 3. So we're still tied.
That was pretty stock standard.
Yeah, that was stock standard. We're both tired now. We had three predictions to see who would put over the line. He said Hollow Song didn't happen. He said Hades 2 didn't happen. He said Marvel game. He got that.
That did
one.
Happen. Yeah, that was a good one.
He did get that. So he moves to 7 points. Obviously, Blade was revealed. I said Death Stranding 2 release window. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. He came out and showed off Overdose, Hideo. I said Wonder Woman gameplay. Still no Wonder Woman. Don't know what's happening with that game. Hopefully it's not in development hell.
What is happening with that game?
Yeah, I know. And then Hellblade 2024 release date, I said. Do I get a point for this, Vi? They said 2024, but they didn't give the release date. This is the difference between a draw and a winner.
I would give you a half point for that, to be honest.
Oh, so Jordan wins, the bastard.
tough one. If you said we'll coming out in 2024, that would have been a good one. You would have got 4 months.
So I've stuffed myself up, made it too complicated. Anyway, they were the winners. Now let's get into some of the announcements, Vicar.
Yes.
Maybe not all of them, but we'll go through some big ones. Why don't we start with Blade? We're not going to go in order. We'll just start with Blade.
Deathloop is obviously a phenomenal game. I loved it. I remember you said that you loved it. Don't know if it deserved a 10 from IGN at GameSpot,
but it didn't deserve.
It was still a phenomenal game. And I mean, Arkane, they're a good studio, so I'm excited. They have a unique art style, and I think it's just with Bethesda and Arkane, like it's always somewhat dated. But it looked good. I think the trailer, and if that's the art direction they're going, I think it looks really good. They said it's third person action adventure, which I know that's somewhat overdone with PlayStation, but I still think that's a good sign.
Do you think this is going to come to PlayStation?
Probably.
Remember, it's Bethesda. Yeah,
probably not, hey. But they didn't mention what consoles it's coming to, so who knows. But if it's, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just an Xbox exclusive. But look, you know, the Marvel
games. Is that a shame?
Games, but
do you think that's a shame for you? Like,
competition's good. I want Sony to sweat a bit, you know. So I like it. I like it. But I think this game, it'll be great. But it's just, you have to wait and see, right? Like, I think the Marvel games have done pretty well. Like Midnight Suns and even the Avengers, which the horrible gameplay, but I'm talking about narrative-wise, Midnight Suns, Avengers, and obviously Marvel Spider-Man. They've been good narrative games. So
we'll talk about Avengers later, by the way. For a little segment. But are you they're most of their games, Arkane, Leon from Bethesda, Dishonored, Deathloop, first-person experiences, and now we're heading to third-person. So
they've always had experience. They've always had experience in melee combat, though. So, you know, Dishonored and Deathloop and stuff. Yes, there are weapons, but they have good melee systems in those games. So,
Prey. Redfall.
Yeah, Prey. So, hopefully, this game's good. You know, I just don't put any hype behind this sort of stuff. Like, yeah, great. Blade's coming. It's probably going to come out in like 2024, 2025.
No, it's actually just started. Development.
Okay, 2027. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I would say 26. It'd be my prediction.
Yeah.
Which isn't that far away. That's when Modern Warfare 4 is going to come out, Vi.
I know. But look, I trust Arkane. I think they're a pretty seasoned developer. I think Deathloop, going off their last game, was a really good mix of gameplay and story. I had my gripes about it, but I still think it was a really good game. So
now, Vic, as of this recording, so when people are playing, when people are listening to us right now, the God of War DLC is probably out. So they revealed this DLC for God of War Ragnarok at the Game Awards and free expansion called Valhalla, a roguelike extra game mode with that infuses the God of War combat, and I guess you'll die and go back again and try and upgrade stuff, and that's what looks like it's going to be.
Yeah,
so.
yeah.
less story, more gameplay.
They did say that it is going to talk about, or they are going to focus on Kratos after the events of Ragnarok, after Atreus departs, which I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. They said they're going to focus on Kratos. So I don't know how, like, you know, this is a roguelite. I don't know how much story is going to be there, but I do like the idea that they're still, it's not just some multiplayer or some roguelite mode, that they are going to be focusing somewhat on story. And they've mentioned that it'll focus on Kratos and Mimir post the events of Ragnarok. So that's exciting. And I loved the combat of God of War. I know Jordan wasn't 100% on it, but I loved it. I loved the weapon. I used all the different runes and the modifiers and those sort of things. Like, I really got into that combat and, you know, basing my combat around a relic and time shift, realm shifting and things like that. So I think there are really good builds. And the way I would make it akin to is sort of like how Ghost of Tsushima, when they had their multi-legends mode, they brought that combat, that customization, they ramped up the scale, you know, different swords, different bows, different equipment. And you could have a build, you know, a smoke bomb build, or, you know, a build that heals, or a build that's based around the bow and arrow that ricochets and those sort of things, right? So I do see that God of War already has a great combat system and it already has a lot of variety. I can't wait to see this DLC and the extra variety you can bring in, where combat's really going to be the focus here. So they really have to do a good job. And I'm excited to see the different builds you can make, the different relics and equipment, and maybe even a new weapon. Who knows? So
you'll have access to all weapons, fully upgraded skill trees at all times. You'll be overcoming trials. 5 difficulty settings to choose from.
Wow.
I thought it'd be just one. So there's, 5. There you go.
And look, I hope that they bring some iteration to the combat and the you know, weapons and equipment that you have, because, you know, it's not that it was getting old, but you don't just want the same thing, you know. You kind of want new stuff. So I think there are new runes and glyphs and stuff like that. There's, I believe, unique attacks and stuff. So it should be good.
So, yeah, I'll check that out tonight, tomorrow, whenever it comes out. That should be a bit of fun. Hideo Kojima's Overdose, Xbox project. So I guess Xbox did have a decent showing at this awards show. Jordan Peele came out. He's a collaborator on the project. He was talking it up as it was some sort of immersive, crazy, never-before-seen experience. We saw a small trailer of two people talking.
It's a new genre. He said it once again, you know. Never seen before.
Any clues what this thing is?
Nah. And the trailer was actually like it was a little unsettling, wasn't it? Especially when she started screaming and her face, the facial animation. It was, it was good. I don't know. I don't have any idea what this is going to be about. So once again, he's got a bunch of Hollywood actors and, you know.
He always uses Hollywood actors, doesn't he?
He loves it. He loves it.
Maybe him and Jeff, that's another thing with the Game Awards. They love bringing the celebrities in. I think probably a little bit too many.
Hey, do they have this time? Matthew McConaughey, Anthony Mackie.
Matthew McConaughey, Timothy Chalamet. I think they asked him, they said, what was your favorite game of this year, Timothy? He's like, Spider-Man 2. Have you seen it? And he goes, well, what did you love about it? Oh, I don't want to spoil it. Okay, mate. Yeah, you haven't played it. Come on. You don't have time to play Spider-Man
2. I love it when celebrities pretend they're gamers. Like, it's just funny because you can see right through it. It's so funny. Like, you know, Vin Diesel, when he's like, I'm with my people, the gamers. And I'm just like, just shut up.
You're not with your people.
You're not a gamer.
Shut your fucking mouth, mate.
But even Jordan Peele was like, Metal Gear Solid 2. Like, I wonder how much he played, you know,
I can tell someone's gaming knowledge by 5 minutes of speaking to them with a few questions.
30 seconds with some of them.
Yeah.
It's really easy. Yeah.
Well, just be upfront about it, you know. Yeah, just say, I haven't had a chance to play this year.
And I don't think people care.
I don't care.
I remember when fans were having a go at Stephen Amell because he didn't read enough Green Arrow comics. And he's just like, I'm an actor. I've been hired to play, you know, I'm not like as much as he is the Green Arrow, like he's not, he was real about the fact that, like, you know, he's an actor. He's not like, you know, like lived his life growing up on comics. And he, like, you know, he read a few of them for the source material and he's an actor. He bases himself. He doesn't need to be some fan immersed in the, I think fans often think that the people, the actors have to be
like fully immersed.
Mega fans. Yeah. They'd be mega fans of like what they're playing. Like, it's so funny. This, the other one I could see is actually lived up to that is like Henry Cavill or something. But yeah, it's just funny to expect Robert Downey Jr. to have read all the Iron Man comics. And like, you know, it's just silly, but
yeah,
what can you do?
It reminds me of Tom Holland. He claims to have played the Uncharted games, but then he played it and he didn't even know how to play.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's just funny. Or, you know, like I know that Idris Elba just went into a booth, did his lines, knows a bit about the story. I don't expect Idris to have played all of Cyberpunk and played the whole game, like, and then played all the Phantom movies. Like, it's so funny. It's just so bad.
You know, he actually got won some brownie points because in an interview, he said, "This isn't a DLC. This is an expansion, Phantom Liberty." So he won a few points with that, with the extra knowledge. Yeah,
trade.
All that. Yeah, someone's just told him, it's not a DLC, it's expansion, and he's remembered it. But everyone gives him so many brownie points for that. Funny stuff.
Is it MK1? Yeah. Is it Kelly Hu? She plays Sindel in Mortal Kombat, the new Mortal Kombat, sorry.
She plays two characters.
Okay. Yeah, Lee May and Madame Bo. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
Lee May and Madame Bo, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, like not Sindel, Lee May, she plays. So someone asked, I remember Damon Hatfield from IGN, they were like interviewing all the Mortal Kombat devs, and he was like talking to Kelly Hu, like, you know, what do you think about the character of Lee May and the story and her moves? And like Kelly was like, oh, you know, I was sort of just there to voice, like I don't know much about the story. And then he moved on, never asked her a question again. I'm like, what a stupid question to ask. Like, you got to know that these VOs, they just go in and do the voice. Like, ask them about what it was like to voice a fatality or ask them what it was like to, you know, scream. Like, it's just,
you've got to know your audience. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just silly. Like, do I expect, you know, Ewan McGregor to read all the Star Wars comics and know the lore intimately? You know, it's, yeah, it's funny. He probably does. Like, I know Mark Hamill knows his Luke Skywalker lore fairly well, but
shout out to Mark Hamill. Has retired as the Joker because Kevin Conroy passed away. Yeah. He said he will never play him again without Kevin.
That's
a legend.
Bittersweet. It's a bittersweet
ending,
I think. It's beautiful. Yeah.
No, it is. It really is beautiful. Okay, the finals. Do you know much about this game, Vi? The finals? It's this first-person competitive shooter that's dropped. It's out now on PC, PS5, probably Xbox. Free to play from former Battlefield devs. Some people are really enjoying it. It's the one where you've got to compete for fame and money, and it's all centered around money, what you're doing in this world.
It's like Payday?
No, it's fully – it's like a Call of Duty shooter kind of thing. It's like a full-on shooter.
Yep.
I haven't had a chance to play it. I do want to check it out. I've got a few friends
playing. And you get in-game currency that you can spend in-game, is that right? To upgrade yourself or is
basically,
that?
Basically, yeah.
It's like a bit of factions, isn't it?
And there's a lot of destructibility in it as well.
Yeah. I see Jack Frags has a video on it.
Yeah, so if you look at the game, the graphics kind of might remind you of a Rogue Company, if you remember that game or...
Yeah. There seems to be some sort of building element to it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun from what I've heard. I need to give it a go. So I'm not too well versed on opinions on it. Just going off what other people are saying, but
right. I mean,
a lot of people are hooked, which is not a word you're hearing for COD this year.
I know this game has come at a good time. There's a bit of a vacuum because COD's been a bit of a disappointment for a lot of people.
And the number one thing I'm hearing is it's balanced. That's what I love to hear.
Nice.
Yeah.
Unlike Call of Duty and their spawns.
Oh, yeah, their spawns are bad. So that's dropped. Let us know if you've been playing that, guys.
Rise of the Ronin. looked really good.
Rise of the Ronin.
That looked interesting.
Yeah, that got March 2024 release date.
Yep. Yep. Look, I don't think ninjas are overdone. So I'm still happy to have some ninjas in my life, you know. Feudal Japan type ninjas.
Do you think it's Ghost of Tsushima that's done that?
Nah, I don't know. Isn't there an Assassin's Creed now coming out? And
there just seems to be a resurgence of it, of that whole thing.
There is.
Is it Ghost Sekiro maybe that did it?
But then again, people have been begging for a Japanese Assassin's Creed since Black Flag, you know. So I don't know. It's always been wanted. And another big one to hand that I thought was huge, Skull and Bones as a release date. I thought it'd never come out. February 16th, 2024. That's been delayed like six times. So what? I cannot wait to see what this game turns out to be. I will say the trailer song they chose, very smart. Very smart song to choose for the trailer. So
now you're going to play it, buy it, and enjoy it from that trailer song.
Never going to play. It just doesn't. I don't know what gameplay loop this is going to have, the longevity. I don't know. It just looks a bit too narrow. Looks like, you know, it just looks like all you know what I mean? It's
just
doesn't have.
What did you think of Avatar Frontiers of Pandora? Have you seen that game released last week? Have you had a chance to see that in action?
No, I have not as much, but I'm not surprised that it's standing at around a solid 7.
Guess what game it's like, Ben?
No way. Not Far Cry. Surely not, Dan.
I deleted it. Man. I'm dead set.
Really?
I deleted after an hour.
I mean, Ubisoft make the most 7 out of 10 games.
Oh, man, this was on another level.
They are a great 7 out of 10 studio.
Nah, this was not good for me. I appreciate everyone that loves Avatar. Look, the world of Pandora is great. Everything else was a Far Cry ripoff. It was just, no thanks. I'm out.
Any innovation?
Nothing. Actually worse.
Wow.
Worse than Far Cry 6.
So what was the gameplay loop like? Was it just open world and fortresses? And
You could use the things around the world to help build a grenade for your arrow.
So it's crafting.
Crafting. Yeah. It's all been done. They've all done it before.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it felt the same. There was a vision mode that you had so you could see the berries or the different trees you need to craft. But the crafting's annoying because you can't find where anything is.
Mm.
There's no way of knowing where. You just got to look around. The characters are just duds. The villain's terrible. Couldn't tell you anyone's name. Yeah, story didn't intrigue me. I want to hear what Jordan, because he was hot on it, as you know.
Yeah, yeah, he was excited.
I deleted it. I don't know if I'm going to go back. I paid full price, so I regret it. Yeah, I blame Jordan, actually. give him the Pandora. Like the one thing I said to Jordan was, like, the map is going to be shit. I mean, the graphics and the design, it felt like Pandora.
That's good.
But that's pretty much all I can say that from the few hours I played.
It's just, Ubisoft haven't changed, have they?
I couldn't help but think about that. I was just playing this. There has to be some change over there. This is just not good enough, you know.
Ubisoft are good at what they've become. Do you know what they've become to me, Dan?
A parody of themselves.
This is how I think. Like, I don't know if I've fully thought this through, but
yeah.
I honestly see them as like a Telltale, where they have a gameplay formula and they just attach different IP to it. Avatar or Far Cry. I know that all that IP is internally developed. Avatar is obviously the first externally licensed IP, but you're still doing that thing where you're getting externally licensed IP and you're applying it to your formula. Because it is literally just a Far Cry 6 Avatar mod from what I've seen and heard. If people like that, then, you know, I wonder how it's sold.
Much you could do with Avatar and you restrict it to Far Cry.
Is Avatar really a popular IP? Like,
I'm saying there's so much you could do with it. There's exploration there.
There is. Yeah, there is. But it's so funny because... It's so interesting, what I'll say, is because Avatar is so popular, right, in terms of how much, you know, tickets it sells and how much money it makes in the box office. But I never see anyone cosplay. I've never seen anyone like do fan comics or talk about it more. You know, there's just never been anything about it. It's such a weird thing where it's so popular. It does so well, but no one has, there's no fan base.
Can I give you my account so you can play this game for a couple of hours?
Yeah. I've got a balcony to jump off, so that'll be no. But I'll definitely play it. I'll give it a go.
I just want you to give it a little go, just so you can see it, man. Because you'll be stunned how they've done nothing to change. Like you'll be stunned. Yeah. You'll think, what are they thinking?
I mean, I did play all of Far Cry 6. And so it is somewhat fresh in my mind, the Ubisoft formula.
And again, I really enjoyed Far Cry 6, but it had things going for it. Like it had Giancarlo Esposito. It had a decent story there. It had the political intrigue. It had a cool world. It had all these different things. It did upgrade the formula a little bit from Far Cry, you know.
Yeah.
This is going backwards.
Do you know the epitome of the far? When I saw peak Ubisoft in terms of the negative side, is in Far Cry 6 when they had an auto drive feature. That was when I was like, "This is peak. This is peak gaming for Ubisoft." I could literally say from one end of the map to the other, Dan. I could put a waypoint and then just say auto drive. I can go eat, go out for dinner, and it'll just auto drive me. I'm like, "This is
for dinner."
Because do you know what it is, Dan? I compare a game like Death Stranding, which obviously didn't have an auto drive. That would have defeated the purpose of the game.
Yeah.
And Ubisoft and Far Cry. And it's like the moment to moment, or the story to story beat, like I feel like Ubisoft, they focus on the checkbox. They focus on ticking off the activities where
correct.
In other games, the activities are more of a supplementary thing. Where here, it's almost like, What it feels like, what I feel like with Ubisoft games is like they've abstracted you away from the game. You're not even concentrating on the game anymore. You're concentrating on a checklist to tick off and all these activities. You know, you're looking at the game from like a really meta way where it's like, I need to tick off this box, do these activities. They're actually not making you immerse yourself, because that auto drive feature I thought was such a joke, Dan, because I used it. But what did that make me do? I could just do other stuff while I auto drove, then go back, shoot, do the thing, tick the box, go auto drive somewhere else, go somewhere. Like, it is the epitome of making a game checkbox when you have a feature that allows you to skip the traversal, right? It just doesn't let you engage with the game. And I just see the way they design their games, they actually encourage you not to connect with the game. They encourage you to actually take a step, look out of the game, and just see it as a box of activities to tick. And it just stupefies and makes these games really boring. And that's like, this is a bit of cognitive dissonance, I think, just there. And even like something like Starfield, I know this is unrelated, but that sort of like they were talking about.
He'll do anything to bring this game up. He's never played it.
But they were talking about like how, you know, the reason why the planets are empty is because we wanted the explorers to feel the exploration and the discovery, like the man, you know, the bloody astronauts going on the moon. And I'm like, mate, we're not going on a spaceship in a full suit. I'm literally sitting on my couch. Like, this is a video game. I'm not like out in space feeling the elements. I'm sitting on my couch holding a controller, walking around. I'm not like life or death, like feeling the rumble of a rocket like this. To think that you could equate a real life experience of being in space and walking on the moon with, I just wanted people to feel that on a game in front of a flat screen 2D TV is.
Dude, Starfield could have been, they should have stretched that whole, what was it, 1,000 planets, and should have just made 50 detailed ones. It would have been so much better.
I know. Tell you right now. When are people going to see that we don't want quality? Quality over quantity. 1,000 boring,
you mean,
hold planets.
We don't want quality. You mean we don't want quantity?
Sorry, quality over quantity, I should say.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Todd's like, we've got 1,000 planets, I'm like, that's not going to work.
We did say that.
You're not
yeah.
giving me 1,000 detailed planets with intricate stories. Like,
yeah.
It's just stupid that people think that we want 1,000 barren planets rather than 10 intricately detailed plans of different laws, different towns, different areas, different factions in these different areas.
I love how we actually seriously brought this up. Not even as a gag. It's come up seriously. Within an hour of Vike being back, we've actually brought it up. No, going back to Ubisoft, Vike, another thing with this world, maybe I'm being too nice about the world of Pandora because you can't interact with anything in the world. Mm. It's all just like, it's like a hologram. All these beautiful environments, but it's all, there's nothing you can really do. You can slide up a vine, and that's about it. Dead set.
Amazing. 10 out of 10.
Where's the interactivity? You know, where's the interactivity?
Yeah. It's the thing. They don't innovate. They iterate. It's the problem with Ubisoft. They don't innovate anymore.
And it's not a bad game. As much as I'm being negative, it's a perfectly fine game. Most people that will play it will have a good time. It's just not doing anything for us experienced gamers at all. For us, it's for casuals, I'm sure they'll think it's probably great. But for the more in the weeds type of people, then again, I haven't seen anyone talking about this game at all. So I don't think it's even done well sales-wise. We'll see. Maybe we'll probably never hear about the sales, which is never a good sign, because Assassin's Creed Mirage, they were gloating about the sales being great, which I was shocked by because I thought that was going to be a dud too, but that ended up being all right in sales-wise, probably just because of the name, the brand value of Assassin's Creed. But yeah.
And they're going back to the roots.
Baby. Going back to the roots, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played it. I do want to play Mirage. Now, eventually, not anytime soon. Like a couple more Game Awards announcements. There was one big one for me. There was two big ones, but you go ahead.
Exodus, really interesting to me, and I think the reason is I hope I'm getting Mass Effect vibes. That's all right. That's what I'm
talking about, because Mass Effect developer was involved or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
ex-BioWare developers.
I know EA is working on a Mass Effect, and it's going to be Shepard, and I get it. You know it's going to be something about that, and look, I love Mass Effect. It is one of the greatest series of all time. But I just feel like it's not gonna reach those heights again. And maybe I'm being a bit too pessimistic. I feel like it's not gonna. Let's get Mass Effect gameplay, the story, the characters, the exploration, the worlds, the gunplay, the fun. Let's just get someone else to do it with a different story, different characters. I just hope that this game can. You know, because you're right, it is ex-BioWare developers. I'm happy to have a new Mass Effect that's not Mass Effect, you know? Give me new characters, new lore, new story, but same gameplay where, cause and effect, actions, character-based, story-based. I'm happy with that. So I just want more Mass Effect, but obviously not Mass Effect, if that makes sense. So I'm just really excited because I've just been waiting for someone to reclaim that Mass Effect glory, that Mass Effect greatness, and I don't think it's EA and the current BioWare. I don't think they're going to reach those heights again. I think it's going to be another team that has to do a take on it, sort of like The Outer Worlds and Fallout. I don't know what The Outer Worlds and Fallout New Vegas. I think The Outer Worlds did a really, really good job on that format, like that Fallout type formula.
I really enjoyed this Exodus trailer. They put a really great trailer together. I'm a sucker for sci-fi. I'm a sucker for action adventure. It's an RPG. I'm guessing the graphics will be like this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something different. I think it's got everything going for it. I'm excited. Now, I don't put too much stock into CGI trailers, but this one has got me more excited than most of them. But the one that really got me excited, any guesses? The Last Sentinel. It's by Lightspeed Studios, LA, futuristic Tokyo, open world game.
Saw this.
Something about this, man. Just ticked something in my brain that I just thought this is sick. And the character comes in off a bike, kind of like Ghost in the Shell or something, and kicks some ass. It just had this prestige about it, this trailer, this dystopian sort of atmosphere, Blade Runner vibes, you know, just, yeah.
It looked really interesting. I thought the trailer was really well done, and yeah, so I'm excited for it. But we didn't see any gameplay, did we?
It was just no. There was a lot of CG trailers again. A lot of CG trailers. We're just going off a vibe here.
Yeah, and, just going off a vibe.
Last time we did that was Cyberpunk. Didn't end that well for some. Mm. I mean, I enjoyed it so far. And then there was another one. This was probably the standout hit, Black Myth.
Wukong.
I think this will be game of the year next year. It looks that good.
Chinese developer. This was revealed years ago. Remember that? And it was really phenomenal. They were really impressed. I don't know if it was a Game Awards or something else where
the game
was shown. Yeah, really impressed. And yeah, like you said, Dan, this new trailer, it just looks intense. The monsters and the mythological creatures, I should say, just looked really interesting, and the gameplay looks a lot of fun. So I'm excited. And you know what? The first trailer they showed was all gameplay. So, you know, it isn't this trust our CGI. They've shown gameplay. They've shown it both. So we know what we're getting, and it looks really exciting. So I do hope it lives up to it. It, you know, it gives me that Dark Souls, you know, Soulsborne type vibe, I guess, but not exactly.
Yeah, but it looks a bit more action-y. It looked a bit more linear than those, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. Looked a bit more linear, a bit more action-y, which is really exciting. So,
dude, if they can pull that off, if they can pull that game off, I'm telling you, game of the year contender.
Yeah, you're right, 100%, Dan.
If it is what they've been marketing, I mean, have you seen the day before what's happening with that game?
Mate, 1 out of 10, they've gone bankrupt. It's hilarious.
We could have a whole episode on that. Was crazy.
It was.
It's a scam.
It essentially was a scam. Like, it was so badly done, and servers, and no wonder they're gone bankrupt. It's
Man.
They got what they deserved. But a few more, Dan, I want to say. Hellblade 2 finally getting some gameplay, which is nice, and 2024, like you said. So that'll be interesting. Hellblade 1 is a phenomenal game. I recommend people to play it, preferably with headphones.
Can you believe that came out in 2017?
Yep.
7 years it's going to take them for this new game.
Fun fact about Hellblade, I remember so vividly playing it because that was when my appendix burst, and I was just playing it, and I'm like eating, and I'm like, I'm really, like, my stomach's really hurting here, like, what I'm eating? I was eating a HSP, and I'm like,
oh, that's why I burst. Something's wrong.
I didn't know it burst. I just thought I had a stomach ache. And then, like, a few days later, they're like, yeah, you got to go to hospital. And I'm like, okay. So I got my appendix taken
out. How much was it hurting?
Pretty bad. Like, it was like just a constant sharp pain. I just remember going to work the next day, and I did like a full shift. And then, like, this is when I was at a factory, and it's not going away. So I'm just like, okay, I need to. And then I went to the doctor's a few days before that and got my test back, and she's like, you need to go to hospital right now and check yourself in. And yeah, it was good fun. I was in there for about 2 weeks, actually.
So they took it out. Yeah.
Yeah, there was some complications, but it took 2 weeks.
So you went under for that?
Yeah.
We've probably already talked about this on the show. It's a funny thing.
Yeah, goldfish no, but memory. I just distinctly remember being in pain but enjoying Hellblade. That's what I remember.
And you'll never forget that either. There's memories like that you'll never forget, like Warzone with the boys.
Mate.
2020.
We're living in Sydney, Warzone with the boys, having
Friday night, Uber
every
Eats.
Friday night, Garmy chicken, getting some fried chicken and just playing some Warzone and Returnal. Potty. That was the other one.
Fantastic.
The other game, there's two more games I wanted to shout out. Well, one game I want to shout out, one game I want to get your thought on.
Yeah.
Brothers Remake.
Joseph Farris.
Yeah. That's happy to. I'm definitely wanting to get my hands on that. I played maybe 3 or 4 hours.
Well, name another game that does that. What he does in that game. One analog stick each for one. I just don't see that often.
Yeah.
You know?
You can really see the iteration of Brothers to Way Out to It Takes Two. Like, you can really see that iteration. It's
and
so
what's
good.
Next, man?
I don't know.
Can you imagine?
It's gonna have 700 mini games. That's what I know.
You think it's gonna be like that?
I'm excited, whatever it is.
You think it'll be co-op? If it is, we'll have to play it, you and me.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. And the last one, what did you think about Suicide Squad? I'm a sucker for a DC story. So either I'll watch all the cutscenes on YouTube or I'll play it if the story is really good. But
I know it's going to do well on my YouTube because DC cutscenes, as you said. So I'm going to play it for my work. And I like shooters. Like, I do worry there isn't anything else to break apart the shooting. We need other things happening.
The traversal looks interesting, but, you know, what activities are there?
What other things are there? There's got to be something. It can't just be cutscene into shooting into cutscene into shooting.
If there's other villains or DC heroes, I would be so down. Like, I would love to see either some other rogues galleries or some other heroes that aren't part of the Justice League, like side missions. Like, imagine a side mission rescuing, like, I don't know, Blue Beetle or Plastic Man.
Do you know what Brad said, my brother? And I thought he actually hyped me up for this, but it's not going to be true. He's like, Dan, you beat the game, right? And then you get to play as Batman. I thought, oh man.
With Kevin Conroy
one last time, I thought, oh man, that'd be incredible.
But it's not happening.
I said, there's probably more chances Superman, unlockable character at the end, to fly around as.
To be honest, I'll probably play for Kevin Conroy.
Yeah. I don't know how much he's in it though, but it's just a tough one. Tough one.
I just don't know how they're going to take out the Flash and Green Lantern, who are so overpowered compared to Harley Quinn. I don't know, but I'm excited.
Last one, Jurassic Park looked cool as well. First person horror type thing. I've always wanted that sort of game. Mm. Jurassic Park Survival, it's called. So it sounds all right. Okay, Vikarth, before we head off for today, what did you think of GTA 6 trailer, just quickly?
Yeah, it looked great. I loved the parallels to all the real life events that were happening. And yeah, one of GTA's greatest strengths is their social commentary through comedy and through satire. So I'm excited to see, you know, COVID and vaccines and social media and all, like, I just want to see their take and how they play all that. So I'm just really excited to immerse myself in that. And Vice City is my favorite GTA of all time. So I'm really excited.
Oh, man. You must be excited.
Because I love Vice City. I love Vice City. So, yep, I'm really excited to play it. I can't wait. But I'm going to have to wait 2 years. So you're not much to be hyped about, really.
And then you also played Spider-Man too.
Yes, finished it. I'd love to talk about it with you boys on a spoiler cast. Thought it was really good. I thought the gameplay was so much fun. I thought the narrative was surprisingly strong, although there were elements of it that I wish were different. I have some thoughts I voice memoed, Dan. So when we do our discussion, I'd love to play them or play them before and then talk about it.
Yeah.
But there was a few things that I think undercut the story in a bad way. But nonetheless, it was good. Saw surprisingly some bugs, but they managed to balance Miles and Peter fairly well. And the gameplay was incredibly addictive. I was having so much fun turning web assistance off, playing on spectacular difficulty. It made the game really fun. You had to use your gadgets, you know. And I've always said hard mode on a lot of games forces you to use what the game offers. Where when I would play the first Spider-Man on easy mode, I didn't use anything. Just punch, punch, punch. But when I was playing on Spectacular, I was using the gadgets, using the ability, cycling through them, and it made the game really fun. Really, the combat was very fun because I was constantly engaged. I was constantly trying out new things, upgrading, and there was a lot there because there were so many different gadgets and abilities. And Miles had his own, Peter had his own, and it was, they did a really good job with it. And Kraven was phenomenal. I wish he was there for longer. Yeah, the Venom storyline was great. I can't complain. It was a really solid 9 out of 10. I think there was a bit of boredom. I didn't need to ride a bike to charge its battery or make a mixtape as Miles Morales, but I get
that was probably the worst mission, the Harry one with the bike.
Yeah.
It was just, or, I think because you go from fighting Sandman, this massive epics thing, and then you do that. It's too harsh of a contrast for me.
Or even like Miles Morales, like Martin Lee, and then like helping a guy get a date for the homecoming. Like it was like, would the real, I get they're trying to be friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but so the Spider-Man would do menial stuff like that, but. Yeah, I don't know.
It could have been shorter. It wasn't bad, by the way.
No, it wasn't bad. They just could have made those things a bit shorter and more punchy. For instance, one I really liked was that when the old man got lost and he was about to die, and you just see Spider-Man and the old man just sitting on the bench having a chat. I'm like, this is beautiful. This is great. Really encapsulates Spider-Man as opposed to like a
that
Batman.
That was amazing. We'd never do that. I love that.
Yeah?
Absolutely loved it.
When you had to follow the trail, I'm like, this is too long. Like, you don't have to pad out the gameplay, making the trail that I have to search for him so damn long. It just at that moment reminded me of an Injustice comic one of the issues where it just talks about the whole issue was it was a flashback to when a boy got his bike stolen or he broke his bike and Superman came down. He was just happened to be passing by and the Superman basically spent the whole day with him fixing his bike and helping him ride and all this. And then it sort of just straight away cut to now where Superman was killing someone in the future as Injustice. Like, it was just a really good parallel to the friendly Superman to now. And I love those moments. And that Spider-Man moment sort of hit that. But just sometimes you don't need to make the gameplay that long. You know, finding the dog, that robot dog for the blind lady, like, just, I didn't have to be that long, you know. So I just, those moments are great.
But that was kind of cool too because she.
But yeah, she's allergic.
That was smart. It was like AI can help.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then she died. If you come back, she's dead.
Oh,
yeah. If you come, sorry to be a spoiler, but you come back, there's a grave there.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad. But hey, look, it's just sometimes quality over quantity. I keep saying it. Quality over quantity.
Did you do the pigeon one?
I've done 100%.
Because the pigeon guy. Spoilers, guys, from Spider-Man.
That was sad.
That was sad too because he dies. But he was in the first one. Remember the pigeon collectibles?
Yeah.
Same guy. And so, it's voiced by the guy who does Lee in The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Quality Dave Fennoy, Lee Everett, Telltale Walking
that's
Dead.
That's the one. Yeah. I say I want quality over quantity, but that being said, I do wish the main story was a bit longer, but the side activities are a bit shorter. But I still had a lot of fun. Like 100% of the game, I thought.
Did you play?
I'm one trophy off, but I'm not going to do it. So,
are you actually one off?
I think so. Yeah. I forgot which one it is.
God, you're funny.
I'm gonna have a look now, Dan. So the trophies. while I'm looking at that, I did want to say, I did really like the rewards that you got at the end of a lot of these side missions, like the Prowler one, the Prowler side mission. Finding all the spider bots, there's a insane ending to that. I loved that.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
How good was that?
And I enjoyed getting the spider bots. I might be a hypocrite, but I enjoyed it.
No, I didn't mind it. And even doing the missions, the Cult of the Flame or whatever, that was a pretty crazy ending as well and payoff and teaser. So there was really good rewards for you to do that side content. I love when they reward the gamer with narrative for finishing side content. Just
bike is one off platinum. Use 25. Use symbiote powers 25 times. Symbiote surge. My God, honestly, this guy.
It's too hard, Dan. I can't do it.
He's probably on 24, and then he never used it again.
It's funny because I decided to go for that trophy where you had to fly from one end to the other. Like, I'm never going to do that naturally, but I just wanted to see if you could do it. And yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess. It was fun. Traversing's fun. So,
you looking forward to the DLC if there is one?
Yeah. I hope that the DLC, either the teasers that they had at the end of some of these stuff, either teased in a new Spider-Man or through the DLC. So, I'd love to see like a Prowler DLC or something that focuses on him and then one that focuses on the teaser at the end of that flame, the Cult of the Flame missions. I won't say it, spoil it, but, you know, that'd be really cool. So who knows?
All right, Vikarth, before we go, I've been going back to old episodes and remastering them, I'm calling it.
Ooh.
And taking a few notes of what we said. Okay. Episode 7, August 2022. Vikarth and Dan. The episode is entitled Marvel's Avengers and Fall Guys Impressions. Do you remember this time in our lives, Vi?
Fall Guys.
The show starts off, Dan congratulates Vike for finally playing many games. He finally finished Ghosts of Tsushima.
Wow.
Well done, Vike. Great. And we were about to do a spoiler cast the following week. Dan calls Vike and himself big DC movie and game fans. Does that still hold up, that statement?
Yeah, 100%.
Vike calls Arkham Knight best combat but worst at everything else.
Actually, that's funny. That is hilarious.
I kind of agree.
I agree. I mean, the graphics still kind and stuff of agree. Are phenomenal, but yeah.
I think, graphics. Yeah, I don't know if you meant that.
Yeah.
Dan calls Cyberpunk 2077 his most hyped game of all time.
Hey, it probably lived up to it. It just took a while to live up to it. It
took 3 years. PS5, Dan says PS5 is going to outsell Xbox 2-1.
It's probably closer to 3-1, isn't it?
So I was wrong the wrong way.
You got it right.
Vike is about to play Control.
Phenomenal game. Recommend.
Dan wants to dive into Control this year or next. Still haven't done it. Good one, Dan. Vike calls Avengers super fun, the beta.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Super fun. I remember playing with you. It was fun. But I just didn't see it lasting, you know. I had my fun.
He says, Thor's a poor man's Kratos. Captain America's a poor man's Batman. Cheap knockoffs. Miss Marvel, the best one. We both agreed.
Yeah, I do remember. A lot of them were sort of copies of other gameplay type things, like, and it just wasn't as good. Was Miss Marvel was the only really dynamic, unique one, I felt like. Yeah, I remember saying that.
Dan doesn't think Hoods, Outlaws, and Legends will do well.
Nailed it.
Vike introduces a new segment to the show called Who Am I? You remember this? Mate, you remember
those
that?
Are good. Those are good.
And it was Gran Turismo, the first one.
We have three people. We can have one as the adjudicator. And
I know. Why don't we bring
off.
It back?
We can finally do it.
Let's bring it back. And then this is the funniest one. Tom is apparently working on a PS Central theme song for us. Yeah, thanks, Tom. It's been 3 years, man. Where the fuck is our jingle?
Mate, man. I've been waiting.
I do not remember that. He's gotten away with that one clean.
He has.
Oh, funny stuff. All right, Vike, what are you playing this week, if anything?
I was dabbling in Medieval and Red Dead 1, weirdly enough, but Modern Warfare 3, I'm going to do the campaign, but I'm kind of over the multiplayer, you know, if Verdansk comes back probably, but those are probably what I'm going to be playing.
What about over the holiday, December to January?
I don't know. I really do want to finish Red Dead 1 ASAP so I can play Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
But Red Dead 1, I don't know if this is unpopular, but I'm kind of bored. Like, it's just a bit of, so.
Just not grabbing you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not grabbing me. But I don't know. What else? What's out this year? What should I be playing?
Well, maybe you're just not a Western fan.
Yeah, I could say that. I'm not the huge biggest fan. It just doesn't pique my interest, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what I really want to play.
Have you got a backlog written down like me with 100 games on it? Or do you just have it in your mind? I have a list.
Of your backlog?
Mm.
Oh, I mean, I can see my backlog because I buy all my games. They're just sitting there. I really want to play Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, finally. Jordan, if Jordan was on this episode, he would be bloody screaming from the top of his lungs, but I really want to play that. But I don't know. I'll see what I can play. What about you, Dan?
I want to play Control.
Yep.
I really want to play Control. I want to knock over Control, Mass Effect series.
Nice.
And I want to knock over Hi-Fi Rush.
Nice. Yeah, that does sound like a good one. So, man, you're in for a great ride. Control and the Mass Effect trilogy. Oh, what I would do to play those.
And games. Hades. I wanted to do Hades as well over the
room. I actually have Hades as well. I probably should get around to that. Baldur's Gate 3, Alan Wake 1 and 2. I don't know. Will I have
Baldur's Gate 3? I wonder if you'd like that. Dude, it's a fantastic game.
I know. I wouldn't mind trying it, but. Who knows? I want to play Cult of the Lamb.
I don't know if you'd like it. I think anyone that plays Baldur's Gate ends up liking it. You just got to be.
I really want to play Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty.
Oh, yeah. You should play that. That should be on the top of your list, folk.
Should I play Cyberpunk from the beginning and then.
What? You didn't play Cyberpunk? The main
story? I played like 10, 20 hours and then it kept crashing. So I just gave up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Start it again. Yeah.
Yeah. With all the patching and
on stuff. PS5, start it again, play through it, then do Phantom Liberty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love it. Yeah, you should really know Phantom Liberty. Idris Elba's fantastic. Loved it. Loved it. Yeah, really enjoyed it. All right. It's been a pleasure to serve you, Vike. This is where we depart. Take care, my brother.
We will see.
And I'll see you
later.